rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Please be with our residents. Please be with our employees. Please be with our military. Please see our meeting over this tonight. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will Tracy please call the roll? Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Mayor Pierce?
Here. We have a quorum. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge did indicate that she would not be here this evening. Item 5, citizens' participation. Citizens to be heard is for the City Council to receive information on issues that may be of concern to the public. Citizens to be heard is limited to 3 minutes. A purpose of the Open Meetings Act is to ensure that the public is always given notice of the items that will be discussed by the Council. Should a member of the public bring an item to the Council for which the subject was not posted on the agenda for the meeting, the Council may receive the information but cannot discuss or act upon it at the meeting. We have three residents signed up. The first one, Ms. Blanche Fallon. Regarding stray cats.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to address the council this evening. I come to get information about the Bear County Animal Shelter. I called and texted them, but I got no reply. And that phone rings, but no one answers. And I even called several times, and they said it gave the message the box, mailbox is full. My question is, do they have any jurisdiction in Kirby as to helping us with our animal problems, stray animal problems? And do they service us in any way? I thought we had services that address the stray cat and dog problems in our community, but I know that y'all address the stray dogs in Kirby. But why is it that, I found out that y'all don't do anything about the stray cats. And does Kirby foresee any services for the stray feral cats problem in the future? And if no, why not? And I was just curious. I saw it on the agenda today, but who do I call or see about these issues and questions? And thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Sid Sanders, Sr. It's regarding item F. Do you want to speak now, or do you want to wait till we get to that agenda item?
Wait till you get to that item, if I may.
Yes, sir. Roger Romans, item 9I. Now, or that item?
Agenda item, thank you.
All right, so we will continue with the agenda. Item 6A, consideration of the regular meeting minutes of February 28, 2019. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we accept the regular meeting agenda February 28, 2019.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept the regular meeting minutes of February 28. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Item 7, consent agenda. I will entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda for approval of the quarterly financial report for period ending December 31 and approval of quarterly investment report for the period ending December 31.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Rappadaca?
Yes.
God bless you. Mayor Pierce? Yes. Sorry that you didn't have to go. I was like, what? All right, item 8A, presentation on City of Kirby Recycle Services. Mr. Armstrong could not be here this evening. He has asked that we bring this item back up, so I will entertain a motion to bring this item up when he advises our the city staff that he is available for this presentation.
Mayor, make a motion to table this item until the gentleman is available.
Second.
Have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman. Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yeah.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Rappadaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. So if we can bring that up whenever he advises that he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Item 9A, discussion and possible action on an ordinance of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 70 of the Code of Ordinances by adding section 70.06 to prohibit the operation of motor-assisted scooters on a street, highway, or sidewalk in the City of Kirby, authorizing the impoundment of motor-assisted scooters found in the City of Kirby, and setting a penalty for violations. I will accept the motion.
Sorry. Well, Mayor, I make a motion we accept.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept ordinance number 0-2019-855, amending Chapter 70 of the Code of Ordinances by adding Section 70.06 to prohibit the operation of motor-assisted scooters on a street. This is the second reading. I will ask Tracy to call roll. Oh, is there any further discussion? All right, Tracy, please call roll.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Rappadaca? Yes. Yes. Ordinance number 0-2019-855 passes for the second reading. Update, discussion, and possible action on Benzingoan Road reconstruction project. Oh, there you are. I was like, I know I saw you earlier. We have Mark Hill with Ford Engineering.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
We had a progress meeting yesterday, discussed the progress of the project. We've got an updated schedule. We had received an updated schedule, and we asked for some minor revisions to that. Current term end date is scheduled for October. They've submitted a request for rain days. And so that's under review. As of the current schedule, we anticipate phase three at this point being done by the end of March. So we expect to have asphalt being done next week. So our sidewalk should be finished up this week. Asphalt being done probably Friday of next week.
And also the installation of fire hydrant. Wednesday, they'll be involved in put out a notice. I told them to send me the letter, the update for the residents by tomorrow, so that we can distribute it next week, Monday, and they can do the job on Wednesday. So I should be getting that letter from them tomorrow for approval.
And where does that one go?
Charles Conrad and Junior, across from the Firesman Park.
And Chief Alfaro, currently, with that being not operational, is there a water in that area in the event that we needed it?
And I haven't come physically checked, man. If you'd like me to, I can go and make sure that there is. I don't see if Gilbert hasn't advised me if they're not being, it should be.
Yeah, with that, there's not very much of an area that's going to be affected.
just want to make, I mean, as long as it's operational and it's not, you know, they don't leave it non-operational on Wednesday, you know, that they stop in the middle. That's my only concern with that piece of it. And as far as, so October, what can you tell me what exactly about October that you said?
Yep, current schedule shows it for October 17th. We've asked for some changes to push it up, so we're looking at the first of October.
But that's when there will be complete?
That should be our substantial completion.
When you say substantial, I hate to do that to you. What is substantial?
That means we have do our final walkthrough.
And that's to what it, all the way?
Yes. To
really?
The bridge at Friendship Park.
Okay. Works.
And so do they have,
exactly.
Currently do they have, are they having staff, more than two people come in? And I know that was an issue before, that there was.
It continues to be somewhat of an issue. This week they had 10 guys on when they were pouring the concrete.
They poured concrete again today. They had about 6 people there.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
For the amount of concrete they're pouring? Yeah.
Okay.
What we would like is to have more people in the days that they're not pouring concrete.
Right.
We had sent a letter to them requesting several items that were identified not only by us but also by TxDOT in our audit. As of today, they have submitted all the items, but we have returned two of those items to them to resubmit. So that was per our letter request on February 22nd.
And the rain days that they've asked for, these are the past rain days?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure that they weren't trying to say, hey, we need rain days in the future.
Right. Well, barring rain.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I just wanted to make sure that their piece of that, because some of that rain happened, you know, that, again, it surprises me that they just stopped production completely when there are so many other construction jobs going on, large construction jobs. I pass I-10 every morning, and that job hasn't stopped even with the cold. And I know it's a different, you know, at some points there's different stages, but they are always constantly doing something, with even regardless of what the weather's doing. So I just don't want them to continue using an excuse for everything and not doing the pieces that they can do. Absolutely.
So one question mark I had is, as far as the acceptance of the rain days, is that something that the city needs to accept? And does that mean if we accept those days that we have to give them those number of extra days before we go into the damages?
Yes, ma'am. So we have to review those and accept them. Then what we'll do is a contract change order for the contract time, and that will go through TxDOT as well.
And so we could potentially accept some, but not all, because I think there was like 85.
There was 85. The questionable one, September, I don't question. There were some questions about October and the number they're requesting there, because I have some items that I disagree with them on that. And the others are like 3 days here, 4 days here.
And then the other piece, if we can talk about, you know, what we informed them is that they needed to completely finish phase three, which if they're saying, okay, end of March, then they need to go back. We do those punch list items and do the partial acceptance before they move on to tear up phase four.
Right, and we have planned our punch list walkthrough on Monday afternoon.
Okay. And then my last question is, I know one of the questions they asked us when we had the meeting was about being able to do multiple phases at one time. And so I just kind of wanted to bring that up, not necessarily for council to act on today, but to talk about, again, our rationale as to why we didn't think that was really a good idea. But it is still an option that we can consider.
Right. So the option is to, after we turn them loose on phase four, which is primarily a residential area, which is slower work with the sidewalks and the curbs and expect, and have a supervisor going at the same time, he doesn't have that kind of manpower to handle the inspection. The other is we're concerned of having too slow reconstructed areas. You know, a division of their labor not providing sufficient manpower for both sides.
And I also think, because we did discuss this previously on this item, was that we were also concerned not only with that, but in the event that this completely went south, that we would literally have two construction zones completely jacked up, that we would not have any resolve immediately, because we also found out that we would have to do all over again,
yes,
pending approval from TxDOT. So that was another reservation,
yes,
that I know that we brought up before. So I would, I mean, me personally would concur with staff's finding that I think that that would be a far stretch for us to be comfortable with multi phases going on.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to make sure that wasn't something, you know, that they're planning to submit to us in writing. I don't want them to spend too much time doing that if it's something that we're not going to be interested
from our meeting yesterday, that didn't sound like that was working as
planned.
However, we know that he has jumped the gun, so I would hope that we would immediately keep our eyes out for any indication that they're going to start doing something at the Friendship Park end, and
right,
unbeknownst to anyone.
Yeah, on that, I have people going every morning to Friendship Park first thing in the morning, so I'll notify my team if they see anything going on over there, let me know. They usually do anyways, so I rise on that every day anyways.
And as far as the area at Gaiety Park where they're, sorry, not Gaiety Park, Gaiety, where they are dumping all of that, what is the resolution with that? Because I mean, it's looking extremely rough right now. I mean, the piles, because they haven't actually touched them, are actually growing trees and grass and everything else in them.
Yeah, the piles that are there, they got checked out, they got tested, so they're gonna use, so they're able to use some of that on the sidewalk areas, and that's what they're gonna do. As far as any access that's there, I'm not exactly clear as far as how many yards they're going to need for the duration of the project. So what I'm thinking is they're storing it there to use as they go. They haven't brought anything new, to my knowledge, to the site, as you know. So other than anything they've taken out.
My concern is it's not depleting at all either. It just seems to just sit stagnant.
They have used it here in the last few weeks, some of it, because we just didn't want to sidewalk, but we know that was where they got their source from, because we had some issues they have to address with it. So.
But is there even an estimate that it can even be made about how much of that they should be using? Because, I mean, are we convinced that all of that is for that job? Like that every bit of it, when those phases are done, that all of that is gone.
It'll either be used or hauled. That's the agreement with the city. We're going to temporarily use that when this project is done.
They'll have to haul it off.
Well, we sit there and say they have to, but they had to do a whole bunch of things and they haven't done them either. So
yeah.
I just don't want it to be, again, mounds of stuff if it's not necessary and they're just using it, or not going to even deplete it, is what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't seem like it's getting any smaller.
I'll follow up with them and see where they are on that, what's their plan, and how fast they anticipate.
And if we're sitting here talking that it's not going to be completed until October, so that's literally months away, and it's, again, if they're just going to continue adding to it and it's not depleting, then it just continues to grow that area of mounds and mounds of trash, basically.
Right.
They'll be hauling up the material. They're to have that as a staging ground for whenever they pull out concrete or any materials, they can put that there. They're also supposed to haul it off, you know, as it's taxed on. So
we'll address the growth of vegetation.
Yeah, they're supposed to maintain the inside of that.
Well, clearly it's not being maintained. I mean, that's one of many things, but does anybody else have any questions or concerns? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark, would you like to post it up here? Thanks, Mark. All right, moving to item 9C, discussion and possible action on resolution number 0-2019-708, authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from Bexar County's Community Development Block Grant with the acronym of CDBG program. I will turn this over to our city manager.
So, Mayor and Council, the current funding applications for CDBG projects are due tomorrow, March the 15th. And last year when we did our assessment and applied for Hickory Hill, we had initially looked at costs to do the entire stretch of the road. Because it was so expensive, we split it into half. So we got the first half that's funded this fiscal year. We would like to submit an application to do the second half from the cul-de-sac down. And you have a copy of the cost estimate that M&S Engineering went back to the original estimate and updated it from last year. So the total estimated cost is $622,267. And as you know, CDBG funds, we have to match it at 20%. We have to cover all of the engineering and then a portion of the construction. So the resolution would authorize us to request $622,267 from Bexar County, but be responsible for $124,453 of that. So we need council to approve that tonight so we can submit the application.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to accept resolution 0-2019-708, authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from Bexar County Community Development Block Grant Program. Do we want to state the amount, 622? No, okay.
That's good.
All right.
Mayor, I move that we accept resolution number R-2019-708, authorizing the city manager to submit an application for funding from Bexar County Community Development Block Grant Program.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept resolution number 0-2019-708.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary, excuse me, will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes. Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Go get that guy.
Herbie.
Item 9E, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. Have any come in?
No.
Okay. We'll move to item... sorry. Discussion 9D, discussion and possible action on appointing regular members and alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission. All right, so that was 9D, 9E. We will go to 9F, and I will at this time, Mr. Sanders, would you like to speak now?
You ready to go to F?
Yes, sir.
Citizens of this country elect a president to run the country. Citizens of states elect governors to run various parts of your government, committee, works, whatever. We've had the same problem. The two members that you're going to discuss now are essential to the Kirby Senior Center. You are elected to help the people of this community. Some of them are senior citizens. Some of those senior citizens come to the senior center. They use its services. Not everybody, but some. It's like not everybody in the city comes to these meetings. Because they are essential, I am asking for at least four of you to vote no on their impeachment. We need them as you need others to run your government. We need them to help us function. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. All right, item 9F, discussion and possible action to remove members from the Kirby Senior Center Corporation. This would be Ms. Mary Vasquez and Ms. Vivian Harris due to the residential requirements. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I agree with what the Senior Center has to help run their board, and I'll admit there's supposedly a law by the state says we can't do that.
That's correct.
But it's a shame that we have to run off two of the best people we've ever had working on the center. I didn't talk to you. So I just, I'm throwing my 2 cents worth in. I think somehow, shape, or form, if we have to go back and lawyer studies the law and tries to get something else.
Well, the thing is, Jerry, you can't change state law. We, as a city, we're a step below the state. We have absolutely no right, no power, no ability to usurp a state law. We can only strengthen them. We can't take away from them.
Since we're talking law, would you like to interject, please?
Well, what I will say to the council with respect to Mr. Sanders for his eloquent comments, Mr. Grant is correct, and Section 394.021A of the Texas local government says this kind of a corporation must have a board of directors in which all the powers of the corporation are vested. The board may consist of any number of directors, all of whom must be residents of the local government. So for the Kirby Senior Center Corporation, formed in part under Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code, all of its members, all of its board members must be residents of the city of Kirby. This has been the state law since 1987. We as a city cannot change this law, nor should we consciously, knowingly disregard it. The legislature is in session. The legislature has the power and authority to change this law. It may be too late to change it this session, but perhaps the experience the city has in regard to this board, might indicate that an effort be made through the state representative who represents all the citizens of Kirby to introduce a bill to modify this language. But as of today, the language is that the board of a corporation formed under Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code must consist of persons, all of whom are residents of the city of Kirby.
And I'm assuming that if we don't take action and the board remains as it is, that any action they take is questionable?
Any action taken where those two individuals' votes were determinative could be voided. It's not automatically void, but it's what we call voidable. Someone could take an action to seek to declare those decisions of that board void. Not automatically, but someone could take action to seek a court order declaring void an action by the Kirby Senior Center Board where their votes were determinative.
And because it's a known fact and everyone in the board in the room knows it, what responsibility or liability is on the city if we don't take action?
Again, someone would have to take action to contest that, but I think the thrust of your question is that, you know, would it be appropriate for the governing body, knowing that the appointments are of individuals who are not eligible to serve by virtue of Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code, to not take action, you know, could be criticized as the city council members not following state law. So therefore, my recommendation, and I, as I said earlier, I appreciate what Mr. Sanders said, but my recommendation as city attorney is that the city council take action to remove ineligible members from this board.
So upon hearing that, I will again ask for a motion on 9F.
Mayor, I move to take action to remove Mary Voskis and what is?
I don't know the name.
It's
Vivian Harris.
Vivian Harris from the Kirby Senior Center Cooperation Board.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Pierce. Is there any further discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lima?
No.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. That decision in no way means that we don't appreciate the service that you have served on the board and in the capacity that you serve. So I hope that you will continue with that. And even though you're not on the board, continue to serve at the center and the magnitude that you have been. So thank you very much. Item 9G, discussion and possible action to accept Roger Roman's verbal resignation from the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board submitted on January 10th. I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion we accept Mr. Roman's verbal resignation.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the Roger Roman's verbal resignation from the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board submitted on January 10th. Is there any discussion? Will Tracy please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce. Yes. Item 9H, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. Norma, have you received any? See? All right. So we will move to item 9A, excuse me, 9I. Roger, would you like to talk now?
Kirby Senior Center has been allocated $20,000 for operational
March 27th, special council meeting, the auditor reported zero material deficiencies. To the non-bookkeepers of you, that means there is no financial wrongdoing. With the changing of the books from the city to the center, there were transitional issues that have since been corrected, but caused no financial inaccuracies. All this information that would have been provided if mayor, council, or city staff had conducted their due process, their due diligence. As possible actions may be taken tonight, please express what due diligence has been taken by this council to support any such potential actions. Thank you.
All right, 9I.
Still trying to figure out how the city gave the books back. Well, we all know the city wasn't handling the books.
Correct.
All right, 9I, discussion and possible action on the Kirby Senior Center Corporation financial status, operations, board of directors, and personnel. All right, this item, last council meeting, or actually our last special meeting on the 7th, we had asked, Councilmember Wilson had requested, as far as this position of the center manager, because it was determined with that audit, and several, even the auditor had mentioned that that position would do better if somebody had the financial experience and the accounting experience in order to oversee these books and to also, on a day-to-day basis, have the accounting experience necessary to operate such an entity. So upon that, that's where we are. I see no reason to hash out all the financial stuff that we talked about last Thursday. This was strictly, we had been asked, actually we have been provided with the roles and responsibilities of the center manager and also a job description of the drivers plus the secretary or the assistant, the administrative assistant. And also the contracts from ACOG and PRESA as they are today.
May I make a comment that I've been curious about? When Tim took over as city manager, did he request any action to make the decision to do where we are today? I would like to table it, because what I think is Mr. Bolton, on his own, decided to just give them $20,000 a year and do away with his position, and he didn't come to the council and ask, because I don't remember it ever. And I would like that research, because if it is, this is all a forest anyway, and really and truly, we should have had her employed the whole time, if that's the case.
But before, after Cindy came Joy, and Joy's job was
But he didn't give the $20,000 to her. He gave the $20,000 when Norma came in.
But Joy had they moved the salary from there because Joy found grants to pay for her salary.
Okay, did the council take action on that to abolish her position and make it that way? You've got to do. I'm sorry. Did the council take action? Was it brought to us to dissolve this position? I understand what she did, but I don't think it was done legally, is what I'm trying to say. I think the city administrator just made this decision, and it was never acted upon.
I think it was probably Zena's area before.
No, it was Tim that did it. You can look it up. Tim decided, if you go back to when Tim came on, you'll look and find
He's talking about Tim Bolda, record.
I'm sorry. that he decided just to make it a donation yearly to the center of $20,000. It was his decision. So what I'm saying to you, Mark, is we never took action to dissolve this paid position. It was just the administrator saying, we'll just start giving him $20,000 a year and don't worry about it and have that person be an employee.
Well, it seems to me that the issue you're describing should be researched.
Yes.
Mr. Baldo was the city finance director when Ms. Tedford was the city manager. for a good period of time.
Yes.
When Ms. Tedford left as city manager, the council did hire Mr. Bolda as city right. manager. So part of the questions I would have is, if Mr. Bolda took this action, did he take it in his capacity as finance director while Ms. Tedford was city manager,
no.
or did he take it in his capacity as city manager? And secondarily, was the action taken indirectly through the adoption of the city's annual budget? Because in that event, certainly an argument could be made that the council did approve the implied personnel action if the position was not included as a employee position
Here.
In the city's annual budget. These are questions I don't think any of us in the room can answer without researching city records appropriately. It would help a little. Mr. Roman said that the center manager was a city employee from 2006 to 2011. So that may give us the timeline of searching beginning in 2011 to determine exactly when that position was no longer a city employee position and what documentation or what authority or what permission was given directly or indirectly by the governing body.
Correct. I mean, it may be a small thing, but I just, there's an impropriety there somewhere that should have been taken. And just switching these funds back and forth. Now, if he put it on the first budget that he did as a city administrator and it was accepted because it's something that was not explained, well, then that's just a hiccup that happened. But I'm almost positive he took it upon himself to do it.
Well, again, I think seeing the records will speak for themselves.
Correct.
So I think we should, before we, may reach any conclusions, have the research done to determine exactly what happened, when it happened, how it happened, and then the governing body will then be able to make an informed decision about that aspect. Tonight, your agenda item allows you to discuss and take possible action on the financial status, operations, board, and personnel of the senior center. Earlier actions have perhaps resolved all the issues that you can or are inclined to take tonight in regard to the board of directors, since there were no new applicants for positions and since the other actions were taken. But discussing financial status, operations, and personnel would be appropriate, and that's part of what we're doing now.
Okay.
Part of your question about, well, when did this happen? How did this happen? And this gives the governing body an opportunity to discuss whether it would be appropriate, perhaps not now, but perhaps effective on the first day of the fiscal year upcoming, to consider having a budget prepared both ways, a budget prepared with the center manager becoming a city employee, and a budget without that. The governing body can then see the financial impact of that kind of action, and again, be able to make a more informed decision.
Correct. Okay. Thank you. That's where it's going.
So I have a couple of questions. Since we really did not get a job description for the manager, we just got her duties that she does on a daily basis. Do we have a job description for the city manager?
The city does not have one.
Does the senior center have a job description for the city manager? I mean, for the senior manager?
I think the last one you'll find on record would be about 2010.
It wasn't provided.
Organizing
with ACOG, Joy's salary is also paid. There was a towards that.
I don't know if it was.
Yes.
There was a, I do, I mean, I know that. So there was a portion of that being paid through
80. Mm-hmm. I believe it was about 80-20.
So.
And I will say, I mean, I don't, when I started here, there was no city position of center manager, so there was no job description for that. So when I recreated or updated job descriptions, we only did the ones of current positions. But in doing some research, because there was a question once before that someone asked about the $20,000, we did go back and look at prior budgets. And so we did find, I don't recall the year, but there was from one year to the next where there was $20,000 in the budget for Senior Center to support personnel and operations, is what it said, versus the prior year, it was partial funding for salary. So I took that to mean the remainder of that funding was coming from grants that were being provided to the
God
city. So
you.
It does not look like the city ever paid 100% of a manager's salary. And I also believe I recall in prior research that that change took place under Zena's administration.
So was it Zena?
Yes.
Darn, I thought it was. Well, okay. Then my fault. Now, we did, but did we extend full city benefits to that posting?
We did not see that in there.
That's what I was trying to figure out if we did or not, because I didn't think we did because of the fact that it was a bifurcated situation.
Part-time.
That's what I'm saying, exactly.
So what I'd like staff to look into is look into a senior center manager's job description to see, you know, look around and see if we can find some.
And we have done that. We have pulled some. But, you know, we just requested current. And
right,
we
right.
We put in the packet what we were provided from the center. We
right.
Pull some examples from other cities.
I would like to maybe have that. If we're going to put this onto the budget in October, we need to start looking at it at this point, too. And so if you can provide that for us.
Please, yeah.
And then can you also look into on the financial status of this? To see how much problems it would be if the city took over the financial records and completely wrote and did it until they get back onto their feet, like a year, like help them with their financial stuff for a year to get them back, and the city gets all their bills and they have to write the checks and keep the books up for it.
In the form of an employee doing that?
Yes, our city employee.
Wait, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Other than if we hire a manager? Is that what you're saying?
If we hire a full-time manager.
Right. That has financial.
That would have the financial abilities, that would be okay.
Okay.
That would be their responsibility.
That would be their responsibility
exactly.
At that time.
Someone else in the city would be responsible for that.
But what are you talking about?
By just
city doing the finances?
Well, at this point, I think that the senior center needs help. They need financial help. And, I mean, they're already, I know that we weren't going to talk about the profit and loss, but from October to February, that, you know, they've already written, I'm not for sure, is it $15 for a check now, or is it $30 a check for NSF? Is it
$30 a church?
And so, you know, you're already doing all of this, and there's still negative $15,000.
What's up?
But $15,000 is just going to keep going and going, and we need to stop the money from going out without getting, you know, if my checkbook looked like this, it would be terrible. And I just think that we need to assist them somehow.
Well, not so much financially, but with their books. Norma, do you have a CPA that is helping you?
Yes. I think that she was going to be here tonight to explain this.
Could you, please?
I'm
going to find out and see what she's in. Are you all right?
Thank you.
Do you have any proposed, do you know if there's any pending income that's going to offset this negative? What is that? Is it what ACOG Gurman puts in?
There wasn't a question. The auditor was just explaining there was two instruments that made up a donation, but she said that Samuel was able to provide, or that they were able to provide that at the end. Samuel wasn't speaking to that because it was before his time. So I don't think that, I mean, there wasn't really a question. She had just mentioned that as part of the audit summary. And again, you.
But I can put their names on there. No, Norma, it's not the issue of the names. It's the issue of the fact that there was no supporting documentation that was deposited. You don't have to put the names down, but you have to provide the deposit slip. But what the accountant's saying is that you didn't show the deposit slip. I understand that, but they said that.
Okay, as so, I said, that wasn't, I mean, we're moving on. That it wasn't, she just made that comment, that was part of the audit, and that was the extent of that. Right. So
do you know what they do you, is the ACOG going to be about the same amount as shown on this one? 12,000?
It all depends on the meals. They have extra funding, and they just went in and just gave it to us.
Okay. All right.
And again, The one thing that came out of it was that the person that's overseeing the, whether it be on the board or the manager, my personal belief is it's the manager, because the senior board is set up very similar, if not almost identical, to the city council. The city council is here. We have a city manager that oversees all of those. So the things that we don't have the expertise in, we depend on that manager. So, again, that was what came out of that with that piece of it. So you and I have had that discussion before. So it was just the fact that she indicated that there needed to be somebody there that was financial, that had a financial backing, that could oversee all of those days, the in and outs, the day in, day out transactions of the senior center, grants, being able to, you know, with the audit, et cetera. So that's the part that came out of that. So.
And
but that's the thing, because if the city would take on us, if the city was in my, this is my opinion, if the city was going to take on a senior manager, then the city would be all into the finances. It wouldn't be that we would be hands off. It would be that person would report to our city manager. That person would day in and day out. So the ongoings of the senior center would be in the hands of the city of Kirby at that point. The board would be very involved, or the city itself would be very involved with the board. And that's honestly not something that I want to see. I don't want to, you know, we keep using that word, the city was doing the finances. The city has never done the finances. The city cut checks. The city didn't check the statements, the bank statements. They didn't have privy to that information. So, again, the capacity of the city was we cut checks, period. And we only cut the checks that were indicated from the senior center. So we gave the checks not knowing what was in the account. The city didn't sign the checks. They printed the checks. So as far as finances, the city hasn't done the finances. So I just, you know, we keep saying the finances, and I just want to make it clear that the city hadn't done the finances. But it is my belief that if the city does take on a city a senior manager, that at that point, all of that information at some point would have to come back to the city, so that the city manager would oversee all of that.
Correct.
Because that person would be solely responsible for that.
But yeah, the only thing I'm concerned with is if we're running in a negative, we have a lot of payroll to meet. Are they going to be able to do their payroll? Okay, that's good, as long as we can do that.
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the payroll is already
good. Cool. All right. Good.
So before we leave this item without a whole bunch of other outside discussion, we're asking our city manager to get job descriptions for the senior center manager. And also, do you want her to look backwards at the information, or was what she said suffice as
good
far
on
as
that? Now, I think we've finally figured it out now. I've got the dates. I understand what you were saying.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is there any further over here? No. All right.
Well, that's all we're going to do is just have a city manager for the senior center.
No, we're not actually doing anything at this point. We are asking our city manager to get job descriptions and to possibly look into, when we do our budget for the upcoming budget, to do two budgets, one with a senior manager in our budget, one without. Did you want to say something, Mark?
Well, and there is one other alternative, which may not be any better or materially different, but in lieu of having the manager of the senior center be a city employee, it may be desirable to alternatively simply increase the budget of dollars that the city contributes to the senior center and have the senior center board hire their own manager. That would take the responsibility for management away from the city manager and put it on the board of directors of the senior center. And it would relieve the city of any additional payroll-related costs of another employee.
Right, which is...
As an alternative to putting that money in the city budget for a city employee.
And at that point, though, if that was what the city chose to do, it's my belief that I would not want to just assign those dollars without any oversight of the senior center at all. So
that again is the purview of the governing body.
And that's what started with $20,000 going to the senior center because there was a shortfall, and it was still during when Tim Wilson was mayor of this council at that time. And certain people sitting up here on council approved all of it to go through, because there was a shortfall in that. So stay within the time frame, and I guarantee you, if you go back and look in on the council records, you'll find it.
Well, again, and I understand the mayor's point too, but you know, sometimes it's one of those sink or swim propositions.
Well, and that's kind of what we did already, though. That's where we're at.
We did that. And
but my personal belief, though, is if the senior center had a manager that had the accounting experience, that it would be a whole different story.
Correct.
So, you know, and like I said, this is nothing against Norma. She and I have both had conversations personally about this. So, again, Norma does a phenomenal job with, you know, doing the stuff for the day-and-day stuff with the senior center. So.
Let me ask you this. Let's just say, going with Mark's theory, the scenario, if the city manager would write a job description that we approved, okay? And if we allowed them in there to be their own entity, that would be the job description they would work with, and they would hire to that job description.
But it's if that's the case, it's really the board's job. If they're the ones hiring.
Saying, but to that job description.
Right, but the city would not be part of that job description if it's the board that's hiring that position.
You have two members of the council on the board.
Right, but it wouldn't be a like an item that we would vote on. That would be a board.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is the accountability of the hiring process would contain two of us that would adhere strictly to whatever she came up with, if that were an option. That's three options in a way.
Well, can she find the job description and then give it to the senior center board and let them vote on that? Is that how you would do that?
Well, it really depends, Councilwoman, on ultimately the decision as to whether the individual will be a city employee or a senior center employee. If it was a senior center employee, then the senior center board would have to approve, at least logically, would approve the job description and be able to provide or post the job description so that applicants for the position would know what the expectations are and probably what the requirements are. You may require a high school degree, a community college degree, a college degree, experience, and things like that. All of that folds into the job description. And I think the job description ultimately is adopted by whatever entity is hiring the individual.
Okay.
We should all go back to the senior center. Because either we're going to be taking it over or we're not taking it over.
Correct.
There is nothing else in between. And that's where it's been floated for so long, is this in-between thing.
I agree.
Because, again, if we go back, Jerry's got 40 years, and go back to decisions that were made back in that timeline about bringing on the senior center board and putting this whole thing into place, we should be looking at him for the answers on how to take care of this. But, again, it's one or the other. There's no in-between anymore.
Well, that's why I agree. Yeah, so that's why you get two budgets, one with it, without. See what the impact is. I understand that, what the financial impact would be.
Because we either take it over and it's another department head to us as council, which just falls underneath the city manager, or
let it be its own entity.
It's its own entity.
Yeah.
And we all know at one point in time, basically, it was its own entity.
Yes.
In the city.
Yeah. You're correct.
I asked another option of doing it like as a contract situation, because I know one of the cities that we looked at, it's the city's senior center, however, all of its operations are contracted out to an independent entity.
I like the pool.
Right, so I was just curious if that's an option under our structure.
That's actually not a bad idea. Is that logical?
Well, it's logical for a city, if the city owns the senior center, to not hire employees but to use independent contractors to manage it. But we don't have that structure, as Ms. Vernon recognizes. Our structure is we have an independent, separate, nonprofit, Texas nonprofit corporation called the Kirby Senior Center Corporation, formed under Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code, with its own board of directors, and the city council's involvement was to authorize the formation of the corporation and to have final say on the membership on the board of directors, on amendments to their governing documents, such as their certificate of formation and their bylaws. And other than that, the senior center board runs and is the decision maker for operations of the senior center. I think Mr. Pierce is right. There really isn't much in between under our structure.
So no wiggle room. It's either one or the other. Yep, okay. All right. I agree. And I think actually, really and truly, the road is really what the mayor feels is that, you know, I think she's looking for a fact to prevent another bad situation, which is
and also again, just like Norma pointed out, we handed over those duties that we were doing over to the center. The center has since hired a CPA or an individual that took all that information. So to me, if in fact we decided as a group to take all of that back, then now it is going back and forth. And then at that point, if another group comes in and decides we don't want to do this anymore, then it's going to flip-flop back and forth.
Well, let me ask you this question. Norma, do you believe that on the next city council meeting that that lady could be present here? Can we table it and then let's see what we are looking at?
Well, we're not really.
Yeah. March the 28th?
I don't even really think that we're worried about the money part of it. We were looking for the job description. And then let the board, the senior center board,
when
write it up.
The next meeting, Mr. Sanders said it was on the 10th, right?
But he'd, at what time?
6 p.m.
6 o'clock? So me personally, since there is already a board meeting set up for April 10th at 6, I feel that if their CPA or their finance person can be there so that they can have their own meeting, that way it gives them time to get that information together as well.
Well, there's another meeting before that. There's a meeting that's set for this coming Monday at 6 p.m. as one agenda item. I've just been notified that they're supposed to did they post that agenda for next Monday?
When did he call you? Because there was not supposed to be one on Monday.
Oh, I'm lost again. I'm sorry, Norma. The last information that I had was that there was one set for this Monday at 6 p.m.
There is a skunk somewhere.
He's close.
Not too close. Yeah, there is this message that says that a KSC meeting has been set for Monday, March 18th at 6 p.m. So
there is a standing city meeting.
That message came from one of your sitting board members. So there in itself, if the board isn't informing you and you're not speaking with your board, there's another issue. So when we're talking about due diligence of the board and the city and center manager as well. So hopefully an agenda gets posted if, in fact, that is going to happen.
Sylvia didn't get it.
It's from his son, Junior.
Oh, it's from who?
Junior.
Oh, it's from Sid Junior, yep. Which is also a sitting board member.
So
just in that in itself, your senior manager thought that it was April 10th, but in fact one has been called for Monday the 18th. So there in point lies another communication gap.
That means they would have had to post it today, or it wouldn't. It's not going to start to take effect.
By tomorrow. Tomorrow?
Okay. Weekends. I'm sorry.
Yep. All right. So.
I'm going home.
All right. Well.
Taking my wagon.
I think it would be best to have that your person, the accounting person, at a actual senior center board meeting. Rather than coming to a council meeting and us talk all about this again, just for the fact that we can consume this meeting with senior center business when, in fact, I think it actually belongs in a senior board meeting. And then we would be attending that. So whatever that is the case, if you can please post a potential quorum whenever you find out what dates those are, so that we, if we all attend, that we're not violating any quorum
We have got to keep you in the loop. Apparently they didn't.
All right. Is there any further discussion?
No.
All right.
What did we decide with the job description?
She's going to get it.
I can provide those in the
Okay.
Monique can provide those. However, if in fact it's decided, however through the channels, if that position is going to go under the city, then Monique would provide that. If that position stays with, or actually the all the operations stay with the senior center, that will be their responsibility to write their description and hire.
Well, we could proselyte that one if we wanted to, right? Okay, thank you.
All right, so we will move on to item 9J, discussion and possible action on termination of interlocal agreement and amendment to ground lease with Bexar County for animal services and facility. Mark, would you like to start that? Start us off with that piece?
Sure, he would.
Of course. As I think was previously reported at the February 14th meeting, Ms. Vernon and I attended a meeting at the new County Engineering Public Works building with Renee Green, Andy Winter, and several assistant district attorneys from the civil section to discuss implementation of the joint decision of Bexar County and the City of Kirby to terminate the interlocal agreement in regard to operation of animal care services, and in conjunction with that termination, amend the ground lease that the city and the county entered into for the real estate, the real property, where the county built the kennel building, the building with the kennels. At that meeting, there were discussions about the need for the county to add something onto their building because they would no longer be able to use any administrative offices at the city's earlier pre-existing building across Duffett Drive. And they, you know, presented to us the opportunity to give them some idea about which side of the existing building the city would prefer that expansion to take place at. And there were a couple of other things that were discussed in relation to the logistics and timing of the effective date for the termination of the interlocal agreement and the amendment to the ground lease. I don't know about Ms. Vernon, but I know when I left that meeting, I expected that the county assistant district attorney was going to send us a proposed termination of the interlocal agreement and a proposed amendment to the ground lease. About 3 or 4 weeks later, we learned they had not started to work on them. So I went ahead and have prepared proposed drafts of a First Amendment to the ground lease and a termination of the interlocal agreement, which I will discuss in a few minutes. In addition, the county presented a drawing or sketch, whatever you want to call it, where they showed which side of the current building they would propose to add interior space. The amount and square footage of that interior space was not defined, but it was shown on the footprint of the drawing, and they also proposed to install 9 new parking spaces to allow for parking for visitors to the facility. And I think that drawing has been circulated to the members of the governing body for your review. We have been asked to let the county know, 10 days ago we were asked to let the county know, is that drawing okay?
because they agreed to engage and pay for a surveyor to come out and do measurements to create a formal written legal description of the land on which their building and parking spaces are located. And the request for that came informally to me by telephone from the assistant district attorney, and in writing to both Ms. Vernon and me from Andy Winter. And Ms. Vernon responded that we wanted to let the governing body see the drawing and provide guidance and direction to staff before we responded. I do think it's in the interest of the city to respond as quickly as we can if we have any chance of meeting a March 31, April 1 deadline, or a March 31, April 1 hopeful date as the effective date for the change in the way this facility is operated and managed. So that is pretty much the background from my perspective. The city manager, Ms. Vernon, did ask that I be prepared to discuss and go over very specifically, but not at great length, the key elements in both the amendment to the ground lease and in the termination of interlocal agreement, so the council would be fully aware, and the public obviously can also be aware of these business terms, if you will, that are in these two proposed agreements. They have not been circulated to Bexar County. If Mr. Winter were in the room, Ms. Green were in the room as the person, Mr. Winter, the basically the county's liaison for this facility and the supervisor for the facility, or Ms. Green, the director of public works, if they were in the room, this would be the first time they would hear what is in those two draft documents. But assuming that the council is comfortable with the material elements in those documents, I would ask for authority to circulate them to the assistant district attorney for ultimate distribution to the senior staff at the county for their consideration. Again, to move this along, it's March 14th, so we have 3 weeks, roughly, to get this accomplished if we're going to meet that March 31 or April 1 hope for date for the changeover to be effective. They're not going to have built anything by then, but we will need that survey done by then. So, Mayor, do you want me to go ahead and go through the documents now, or do you want to have some other discussion?
I would appreciate if you would go
okay.
through it.
Okay.
I don't suppose that there will be an extreme amount of discussion.
They're still going over the footprint that they have right
that's
now.
That's what
they're
asking
for.
No.
That's not what we're going to give them. Well, that's my opinion. I'm pretty sure everybody else could come up to that.
They're asking for a larger footprint just by looking at that. The additional parking spaces, I thought the last time we discussed this that we were going to give them to the curb that is in the cul-de-sac, but now they're asking on the backside.
Going to the fire station.
Yeah, that would increase their footprint. I thought that we had agreed that we would allow them to add to the facility on the existing footprint with the parking and all. And now they're looking at that, they're asking to expand their footprint.
Even past the future expansion.
Yeah.
The difficulty is, as I'll explain in a minute,
okay,
that what we thought their footprint was,
they didn't,
and what they thought the footprint
I knew that
was
gonna happen.
Apparently are not the same.
Exactly. I agree.
What we own and what they own. That's the big difference, yes or no?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
That,
but
you said it right there.
I want
to. Not theirs.
The goal tonight, I hope, is for us to be able, Ms. Vernon or me, be able to go back to the county and say the footprint you proposed is acceptable or the footprint you proposed is not acceptable, and this is what the city believes the footprint should be or is. That, whatever that judgment is, will facilitate discussions going forward. And we may have to be back here in 2 weeks with an update, but we've got to take the next step. That's part of the reason why I agreed with Ms. Vernon's judgment that we go ahead and prepare these documents to get something in front of them.
All right, real quick, okay. Would it be a logical thing to take the footprint that we agree on, that we agreed on, and go ahead and plat that ourselves and present that to the county as this is what you leased, this is what you work with?
Well, in our last discussion, we've already hashed that out. We've already instructed our staff and our legal attorney that we were not comfortable with anything except the scope of that phase one.
So it's not acceptable.
That they had the Sallyport area, if you will, and if they wanted to use anything in that confined space that's already established, they would have to figure out how that was going to work for them.
Yeah, so that's where we are, Mark. That's it.
We need to communicate that back. That we have not communicated that back to them, and we need to do that.
So at that meeting, that was done when they proposed that. Did Breon not this one?
Please.
The original one?
Yeah, please.
The meeting that he's speaking.
We didn't get any drawing at that meeting.
No, I know, but at that.
The meeting we had with them was prior to the council discussion.
Okay, that's I thought.
That we were talking about.
Yes, because I mean we had already hashed out up here that we were not comfortable with them taking anything other than or building anything else other than in the confined area, because we specifically talked about the concrete pad that was there.
Correct.
But I think the challenge is having a legal description of what the confined area, because
their argument is
that the confined area encompasses everything.
Okay.
The whole grounds.
All right.
So I just want to make sure what we're saying is you don't want them to add anything to the building that would only be able to enclose or to, I guess, repurpose the existing space.
Correct.
Yeah, the landscaping space that they did. They want to put something there, go for it.
But at this point, it's not a jointly used facility. So this lease agreement and the land was based solely on establishing a jointly used facility.
Correct.
So this is no longer a jointly used facility.
So they don't get access to the property.
I mean, these are expansions, and it clearly says expansion. They had no plans to expand because they were using the existing city facility for one of those. So, again, without hashing all this up that we've already talked about, that's my stance, is the fact that the lease agreement was based establishing a jointly used facility. It's no longer jointly, or it is currently, but it's our intent that it will no longer be jointly used.
Well, I think we need to communicate to them. See, this is their dream. This is what they drew. This is their dream. And what we need to have Mark communicate to them is that the existing footprint.
Which is what I already thought.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying the established facility that is there now and the space that is used, whether it be landscape, parking lot.
We need to have the city engineer go out there and put down four markers.
Thank you.
To mark their zone
That's
off and
what
tell
I'm
them
trying to say.
They
yes.
can't. Once you see that little stake in the ground with the orange flag on it, don't go past that point.
Right.
Is what they need to know. And again, too, I don't see why we can't terminate any of this stuff and keep them bound to what they said originally, being how it was supposed to be this grand thing, which they're not abiding to. So they're actually, it's not us breaking the contract.
It's them.
Them breaking the contract. So we need to let them know this is the way it is. Here it is. This is what you get. We're done. And at the end of that point, we're done. If they want to go and tie it up in the legal rooms, fine and dandy.
Mark, just out of curiosity, like on private property, when you put a space out, say, for put a building in, and you plat that area for that building, and an easement or whatever you want to say. Could not that scenario be used in this area? What we feel is the area of the land that they rent or took on this. This is what we feel it is, because this is their pipe dream.
The reality is that it's what I said a few moments ago. What we thought we had leased to them is not the same as what they thought they were leasing from us.
Correct.
There is no plat
okay.
of the area. There is no legal description of the area leased. There should have been, but there isn't.
Yes, that's what I've been trying to say all along.
There isn't.
That conforms to that address.
So the goal now is to define that area.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
So the guidance I'm getting, what I'm hearing tonight pretty clearly is that you want to inform the county that the area that they can use, inclusive of any expansion they want to do, is this specific area. I need that in writing, on a piece of paper, on a drawing, marked. If you want to spend the money to engage a surveyor to come out and do the surveyor, that's in the discretion of the governing body. The county offered to do it and pay for it.
Now they have money. They didn't have money to start the business.
Keep going. You're good.
If the city wants to incur that cost, Ms. Vernon can find out from whichever engineer she wants to check with our survey company what that cost would be. It's hard for me to give an estimate of this because I don't know what the size would be, and I don't know what is on the ground now that would assist a surveyor in terms of existing survey pins. And other boundary type information, they may have to go all the way to where Duffick Drive.
Yeah, just have a benchmark
to get a pin where they can start running the survey lines. But for my purposes and Ms. Vernon's purposes tonight, if y'all can just get to Ms. Vernon the drawing that shows the area that the city governing body believes was leased, then we will take that to the county. Let me go over the summary of the material sections of both the amendment to the ground lease and the termination of the interlocal agreement, so that everybody knows what those matters are. And again, we are here to take direction from the governing body. I do not decide what's in this document. Y'all give me direction and feedback. We're here to get input. If we didn't want the input, I would have sent this off to the county as soon as it was ready. But that would not have been the appropriate thing to do. So let me start with the amendment to the ground lease, because it's very relevant to what we've just spent the last 10 minutes talking about. The first thing in the amendment to the ground lease is a discussion about the legal description. And to carry out a little bit more detail what my exchange with Mr. Grant has been, the legal description of a piece of real estate is the most accurate way to describe the land in a legal document like a deed. In fact, a deed must have a legal description that someone experienced in reading legal descriptions could actually find on the ground and walk the corners of. That's something like Lot 1, Lot 3, County Block 5007, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. And most people in this room who live in Kirby have a legal description that starts out with a lot number and a block number and maybe a subdivision number, and then maybe a county block number, and ends with City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, according to plat recorded in volume something, page something, of the deed and plat records of Bexar County, Texas. A lease is different. A lease can have simply a street address. We could put in the lease and have a valid lease if it said 5510 Duffick Drive, and an enforceable lease. The problem is
How do we define what is what comprises 5510 Duffick Drive? So the solution here is to have a legal description that sets out in survey calls the land that's being leased. The ground lease between the city and the county said that the land being leased was in the city of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, and then it says, quote, and more particularly described in Exhibit B, which is appended, close quote. Problem is that everybody involved thought the other party was going to append Exhibit B. We thought the county was, and apparently the county thought we were. So the first item in my amendment to the ground lease is to have a specific legal description of the property being leased. And as I said earlier, the county had offered to have a surveyor do that. The city can do that instead. It would take, I would assume, no less than a week to 10 days and maybe longer, get a surveyor out here to actually do the survey work and then create a legal description. The legal description would not be lot 1, block 3. It would be what's called a meets and bounds legal description, starting at this point, going so many feet in this direction, and the direction is done by an angle, then minutes, then seconds, and then it would be a corner, and then it would come down, another corner, and connect up. And a legal description like that, the word we use is it has to close. It has to, the piece has to fit together as one piece. And so if the sketch provided by the county is not acceptable, we need to provide a drawing from which a surveyor can go onto the ground and create that meets and bounds legal description. Once done, that legal description by this amendment would become Exhibit B to the original ground lease and Exhibit A to the first amendment to the ground lease. So we have it in two places, and it's determined. So that's the first change that I propose in the first amendment to the ground lease. The second change involves something that's similar to a comment that Mr. Pierce made a few minutes ago. Section 202 of the ground lease provides that the initial term of the ground lease is 30 years, and it says, quote, the parties agree there will be one option to renew for an additional 30-year period upon termination of that initial term, close quote. So the change I am suggesting in the amendment to the ground lease would eliminate the option to renew and state specifically the initial term began on February 23, 2016 and ends February 22, 2046. That is the deal we made. And they made that deal because they spent X thousands of dollars building a building. And they, quote unquote, sold, close quote, this whole project to their governing body based upon the lease term being adequate to amortize the cost they spent to build the building. Because when the ground lease ends, we, the city of Kirby, owns the building and owns all the improvements. So if this governing body said, okay, you can build onto your building, just it can't be more than 200 square feet, and you can add your 9 parking spaces, they do that, and the city owns that those improvements when it owns the building at the end of the ground lease. We have not said this to Bexar County. We have not said, you know, we don't want this to renew. So I don't know what their reaction will be. It's hard to know. But it seems to me that it would be appropriate to put that on the table for discussion. That's why I've put it in the amendment to the ground lease. Third, a section of the ground lease, Section 402, says that the building the county constructs will be, quote, used and maintained by both the city and the county. The amendment says that the building will be used and maintained by the county because of the deal we're making. And finally, the amendment to the ground lease also addresses Section 501 of the ground lease, which talks about any expansion. And the current language is that there won't be any expansion except for the building described in the interlocal agreement, or the building described in the ground lease, or something otherwise specifically approved by the city. And I'm proposing that the amendment say that the construction allowed is the building for the kennels and related animal care facilities, an expansion by a to-be-specified number of square feet and 9 parking spaces, as well as what may otherwise be approved by the Kirby City Council. Based on the earlier discussion this evening, I'm confident that language will need to be revised. But that's what's in the draft ground lease. In the termination of the interlocal agreement, there are basically 3 main points. The first main point is the termination date is March 31 of this year. That may bump because we may not be able to get everything done by then, but proposed is March 31. Second, that the tangible personal property inventory that's been acquired during the joint operation needs to be divided. And third, there has to be a settlement for costs because the interlocal agreement says the county is to pay its pro rata share of staffing and operating expenses like utility bills, animal care costs to include food and veterinary medical care, vaccines, things of that nature. The county pays its pro rata share, and the city pays the city's pro rata share. In the meeting that Ms. Vernon and I attended on January 29, Ms. Green indicated that she believed that we could read that an agreement could be reached on how to divide that personal property inventory. It'd be based on inventory to be taken immediately before the actual termination date. Ms. Green provided that afternoon, provided to Ms. Vernon, a list of personal property items, but no quantities. They're just listed the items without saying how much. Subsequently, the city did get a list with the quantities of the inventory as of January 31. If we were to get this done by with an effective date of March 31, there would have to be Ms. Vernon or someone else she delegates from the city meeting with Renee Green or whoever she delegates for the county to actually go over and do an inventory and divide it up. My theory is, assuming it's not a huge volume, that at that meeting, our person walks out with what we're going to get. As to costs, Ms. Green indicated at the January 29 meeting that her preliminary estimate was that the city was going to owe more money to the county than the county would owe to the city. But the termination agreement as drafted simply says that Ms. Green and Ms. Vernon will meet by June 30 to do that final accounting and that any payment would be made by August 31st. It's hard to get the cost matters resolved in advance of the termination date because we won't have the numbers on whatever the date is. We're just not going to have the numbers. So as I said earlier, we've not presented the drafts of either of these documents to the county because we wanted to get the council's input. So with that input, plus the new drawing, I will be glad to make the necessary revisions, get them to Ms. Vernon for approval, and get them to the county if authorized by the governing body. If it's not authorized tonight, then we put it on the agenda for your March 28 meeting. To move it forward, if you all are comfortable with Ms. Vernon's judgment and my judgment in carrying out the directions you give, we can get something tonight
I think the way to do that would be a motion along the lines of authorizing the city manager and the city attorney to present a draft amendment and a draft termination consistent with the terms of the draft documents, except, and then list the things that you want me to change. And we will, you know, follow that, those directions. Are there questions, or Mayor, if not, you can open it up for council discussion.
I actually have a question. So we have a date of March 31st, which it's already March 14th. But my question is, if this is sent to them, is there anything that we can do to give a timeline of when it has to be returned?
Sure, we can ask.
And that's kind of what I'm saying, because if they choose not to, then it just continues to drag.
We continue to be in limbo. That is correct.
So there's nothing as far as a date, time, stamp, what have you, that keeps us from being in limbo, both entities being in limbo?
There really is not. What my suggestion would be is that, assuming that I get that y'all provide the authority I suggested earlier, that we get something that Ms. Vernon and I are comfortable with, and if you'd like to have a member of the council also look at it, that would be fine. But the goal would be to have a final draft document, close of business tomorrow, close of business Monday, May 18th, on its way to the county, and request that the county respond prior to your next council meeting so that either Ms. Vernon or I or both of us could present the county response to the governing body on March 28th. I wouldn't change the date. I wouldn't change the March 31 date now because I think that's aspirational, but it delivers the message sooner rather than later. And I'd like to have permission to deliver that message that we meant it. The mayor meant it when the mayor said, I'd like it to be earlier than April 1. And so we're one day earlier if we can get this approved.
Yeah, that was last month. This feels like we're going through the same motions again and again.
And I only say that because it's a 5-year lease. Sorry.
Five-year interlocal.
5-year, yeah.
But the, not the lease agreement, but the actual interlocal agreement is a five-year agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It expires next year.
Right, roughly June 30th
so
of next year.
So potentially it keeps getting drawn out. We're going to be into next year. I mean, potentially that could happen.
Yes. I agree with you, it can happen. The reason I don't think it will happen is that they're as ready to end this relationship as we are, I think. And Ms. Vernon can comment on that.
Yeah, and we do have the letter from the county that says we're agreeing to termination. So I do think we can utilize that.
Then let's write it up the way we want to have it done. Give it to them so they can sign it. If they're giving you a letter stating that, we give them the footprint.
What we end up doing because, you know,
if they're saying that, they're ready for it, then let's give it to them.
All right, let me ask you a quick
question. The footprint.
Let me ask you a quick question, Mark. If they do their own, what I'm trying to figure out is I know that on each end of the kennels, on the east end for sure, no, the west end, excuse me, there is that gate and where the emphasis trailer was. So that's enough room for them to put in an office that's in this footprint now.
Which is what we were
exactly. And I wanted to measure that to make sure. But what I'm saying is, so if we let them come out and do their survey and give us their drawing of what they want, then they're going to establish the benchmark of where the pins are so that we can come back and work off that for our survey.
The pins should already be there because in order for them to actually have done the construction of this building to begin with, they had to go out and survey and lay the plotting.
Because it was never done. No, it was. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm telling you.
That's a bad construction.
That's exactly what happened was, apparently, as Mark said, one entity thought the other entity was going to plat it.
No, not us. The construction.
Oh, well, whoever it was didn't establish that.
No, we weren't talking about the plat. That comment refers to the map being attached to the final agreement, which the map that we all
saw.
But
what I'm saying, they just built it. They just built the building as a SWAG on that land.
Well,
I think there had to be a plat.
Excuse me, Ms. Wilson, but what Mr. Pierce said is worth exploring.
Yes.
And the danger in exploring it is we might not like what we find. If there are survey pins out there, they will help define what that location was intended to be.
Well, the thing is,
and we have no control over whether there are pins or not.
One way or another, we're going to have to do that. It doesn't make any difference, Mark. What I'm saying is, let's go ahead and let them establish the perimeter, what they're talking about. Because when I worked for the state on the survey crew, you have a benchmark, which is what you're talking about, and that's the one they got to find. They come off that benchmark so many minutes and degrees, and then they establish this. Okay, so either way, so let them do it the first time and establish the parameters of what they want.
But it depends on how fast you know how to flip the theodolite and turn it again.
Yes,
I have no problem with our doing that. That means we tell them we're not agreeing to your drawing.
Exactly.
But go ahead and have your drawing surveyed.
Right.
What by implication that means
could be that they've got what's there.
By implication, what that means to them is, okay, we're going to get this. I know they said they haven't approved it or anything, but they're telling us to spend the money to survey it.
Right.
And we can then take that survey and say, well, cut off 20 feet here or cut off 10 feet there and send it back to them. Whatever direction you want us to take. But I think to move it forward and to get an answer from them on the draft documents, we ought to answer their question about the footprint. And whatever the governing body can instruct Ms. Vernon and instruct me what we send back to them in regard to the area that the city believes is the area leased to the county.
So we have to have that surveyed. Of what their footprint is right now and have it surveyed, being what it is, and send all that to them and not give them any chance to deviate one or the other, because this is how it's going to be. It's the city. Here you go.
Yeah. Done. That's what we've got to find on west of the fire station where that first benchmark is and come off of that. That's how your survey starts, because you have to have a starting. You have to have a start.
There's already a pin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You come off that pin.
Over there in the circle. Isn't there a pin someplace over there already on the ground? A survey pin in the ground?
Just look for a railroad spike with a dot in it.
Or it was like a shotgun shell.
Wow. You're going to need
There's one in there already on the thing. That's where we just have a survey cube come out, find that marker, shoot the azimuth and the directions, get it done, and then we send that to them.
That's exactly.
This is all your, and then have them put this.
The marking pins in.
So they know that they can't go any further than that.
And then you make a legal description of the address. Would that be correct?
We make a legal description of the land which the city believes is the land being leased to the county.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
That's where we're coming
from. When Duffick Drive was created, there is likely to be a survey pin somewhere near the corner where Duffick Drive begins. It's a cul-de-sac,
right?
Essentially. So the main thoroughfare that it intersects with, there should be a survey pin somewhere.
Right.
They're often underground over time. You can't see them, but you can find them with a metal detector.
Yep.
That's what a surveyor will do to determine a starting point to be able to create a legal description. But having said all of this, we're still going to need to give that survey a piece of paper that shows him more or less
what we want.
What we expect this survey to be of. My English teacher would shoot me for ending that sentence with a proposition.
Google Earth.
Pretty much.
Put a GPS coordinate on it. I mean, you can take a picture just like that and use the footprint that they're existing in right now, even though it's very hard to make out a clearer picture of that, and then put, here it is, give it to the surveying crew, send them out there, and get it done. Yeah, I mean, the four corners, all they're going to do is block the four corners of the location with that, because nowadays they're blocking, they're not playing out there with mechanical devices, they're using electronic devices.
Right.
And all they're doing is setting GPS coordinates on those four points.
How soon do you want to get the, well, do you want to wait till we do this to get the answer to them, or do you want to send a preliminary?
It sort of depends on how long it will take us, or
that's
how quickly it will take us to actually get the kind of drawing that Mr. Pierce is describing. My idea would be to provide to them revised drafts of the termination of the interlocal agreement and of the First Amendment to the ground lease tomorrow,
right,
as early in the day as we can, and to inform them that the city will present a survey drawing as soon as possible. And if at the time I make that delivery, maybe Ms. Vernon will have already checked with whatever surveyor she's going to use and get an estimate on that timeline.
The time frame.
Yeah, I mean, surveys work much differently now than they used to.
It used to be
the crew had to come out and actually what we call shoot the lines.
Right, they don't need to do that anymore.
And then they had to take it back and somebody had to draw it, and now it is done.
Well, GPS reckoning, it's almost like an X-ray, and then you just transfer it over.
You'd have to shoot the azimuth.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. I think that's a logical thing to do, Mayor.
We have study money, first of all.
Well, I'll have to check out with the engineers and see if they have that service, because we had it before.
Right.
I'm sure they should.
I believe that was part of their...
It is. It's part of their service.
I'm just curious if it's readily available, because, again, if it's not until next week or the week after, then that pushes it back, so...
And I don't know. I can ask Mr. Turk in the morning too. But I think the inquiry coming from the city, I think would be better. I just can't remember whether M&S has a surveyor in house or whether they use a sister, a different company that they have an ongoing relationship with to do the survey work. I just can't remember.
But they have
access to a survey.
I think that's the best term, Mayor, is to go ahead and put the preliminary out there with the exception that we'll provide the drawing.
One of y'all is going to have to make that motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we give the...
He specifically had a specific present a draft amendment and a draft termination, and there was...
Well, if, what I need is... I need... The main thing I marked in here that I would like some guidance on is I think that if we leave the language in the ground lease that says that they can do any building described in the interlocal agreement, that may leave us open to all the expansions that were objectionable. So that's why I proposed changing the language to be that they can use... That the construction would be for the building for the kennels and related animal care facilities, expansion by a number of square feet and 9 parking spaces, and then anything else the city council approves. So the question I have is this expansion concept. How can you give me some quantity that would be acceptable? 250 square feet is, basically 10 by 25 feet.
Correct.
400 square feet is 20 by 20. Some guidance like that I can put in here. Whether or not they can add the parking spaces.
Was the footprint that they have now, the existing footprint they have now?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Is that the space that they've already got fixed in?
That's what I want to know.
their definition of their footprint, what they're saying is the entire.
Because
there is that open space.
Footprint that they have right now, the existing footprint.
Is that where the gate is? And this is where the trailer set would be right there.
Mr. Pierce, is that the footprint of the building? Or does it include any land around the building?
It's up front.
No, it was on the side. When they stole it from that side where the gate took it.
So we're asking for something that's not there, which is kind of hard to do unless we get the survey done and then take it and go back to and say, okay, you get an extra 10 foot over here on this side, an extra 10 foot over here, and you're still exactly the same in the front.
Well, didn't they ask us to pick a side? So let's work with maybe the west end of it, because that's the most logical place to me, because they've got a drive. That's where the gate is. That's where that fence was, where the trailer was, or is where the trailer was.
So I haven't seen, obviously, a plat or a survey, so I'm a little directionally challenged.
Yes, sir, I understand.
The drawing that was sent to us by the county shows the side of the building where they propose to add space. Is that the west side?
Yes, sir. Is that going towards the fire department?
No, that's east.
So we're going towards the community?
Correct. Okay. Well, but see, if they stay within that space. Remember, where the trailer was parked,
there's a tree there.
There's a fence and a gate. That's where the trailer was taken out of that gate.
Before it was mentioned.
At the west end.
Before it was.
That's what
I want to work with, wherever that fence is, that's got to be, from the edge of the building, that open area there is more than 10 by 25. That's already fenced in. Where the trailer was parked, remember that slab? There's a slab.
Yeah,
that's
in the front of the building off of
Duffett
Drive.
That's what I keep saying. It's in the front. He keeps saying it's on the side.
If we're coming in on Duffett, fire department,
that's
animal
east.
Shelter.
Yes.
Right?
So
that area that you're talking of is on Duffett's side.
Correct.
Yes, on Duffett's side, and it goes towards the
utility yard. That's behind their gate.
Yes.
Where the driveway is for the parking that they already have.
Correct.
All in.
Yes.
Now, I'm just trying to make sure it's clear.
Yeah, no, you're exactly
right. I thought he was talking about on the other side of the building.
You're exactly right. And that area, if you look at that area, that's got to be.
And then remember the dirt mound there for the landscaping? And that's what I'm saying. That building, all the way down.
Right.
Yeah.
That's their footprint.
But it's out to the fence. Remember, there's a fence out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be 20 by 20. At least 20 by 20.
See, now if we're talking about a footprint of an area, you're shrinking it all the way up to that gate.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't do that. I don't want them expanding in either direction.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. The area.
They want to expand to the drive, to the.
Oh, no. We can't let them go to the street.
Drive.
We want them to go west.
And they can't go behind the building anymore because that goes into a church.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that area that's on the west end, where there's a concrete pad.
The landscaping part is that.
Yeah, there's a concrete pad that's about 10 by 10 that sits right here.
That's in the middle.
Yeah, but the trailer was just on to the west of it. And if you look at the fenced-in area, the edge of the building, the end of the kennel, to the end of the fence where the gate is, that's got to be about 20 by 20.
Yeah, that's going back towards Duffett.
No, towards the building, towards our yard.
You're saying that fence is on the end of animal control.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps saying it's on the end of
it's
animal
on the
control.
Fence
where
on the end. The west end.
The fence? The front of the building?
No.
No,
that's
see.
Where the front of the building is.
I don't have a
keeps telling,
front. Look, guys.
Getting that picture in your
shot.
Look.
Right here.
He keeps telling me it's on the end.
You see where the kennels are? Right here, right? This is the west end. This is west. The end of the kennels. The trailer was parked right in here when it was stolen. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
no.
It was inside the fence.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is this what they're saying is the fence line?
It was inside the salad board.
Was it
in the middle
fence line?
Well, see, I saw it sitting on the outside when I was up there.
When you say
the salad port, you're talking about right here in the middle?
The concrete between the two kennels.
Okay, because when I saw it, it was down here.
That's still the parking lot that goes that way.
Okay, so here's the end of it. And on the end of this end right here, how far out is that fence and gate? That's what I'm trying to establish.
It's right there because they actually build the buffers.
It's right there on it?
It's on it. It is an extension of it because it goes.
I thought there was a fence with a gate there.
It's because that was one of the things that
I need to go back and look.
They put buffers on it because the church was concerned about the noise, so they actually built a very aesthetic buffer.
For the back of all that.
For the
area.
Back. Okay, but so in fact, there's actually not a way out, which was another concern. Like, how do you get out of it?
Let me ask you a question. Then at the other end, where was the Jerry we were talking about? The gate, I guess it is the east end, where that space is. But what Jerry was talking about, a piece of the wall should be put up for the church.
Yes, that was
Is the east end. Well, then I'm turning around backwards. I apologize. So they have a space at that end that is larger. No?
No, they have the space for what they're on right
there,
now. That's
everything
it.
All the space that's confined to the kennels is literally confined to the kennels. There's not anything extra on each side. That stuff extra on each side would have been additional phases.
And so, okay,
because it goes towards, the phases were moving towards the community garden, towards the public works. There was nothing going to be phased between the start of the kennels and the fire station in that area.
Zero escape. Okay, so let me ask you this. Now, when Mr. Winters came up here and told us that he failed to talk about okay, so is this the area where they could have the walkway or the run and they put
what
the gates
he was,
up?
What he was talking about is that there's no way to the gates that are on there, the dogs can run free. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, so I'm saying, is this an open space right here?
It's inside. There's a backyard, if you will, that there's a space from the kennel side to the wall.
Correct.
That separates the church from the backside, which is their little area that they use to exercise the dogs and to run. I mean, it's a fairly good distance, but at the same time, I mean, if we did that, then it would alleviate space for dogs to be.
All right,
like they would not
that.
Be able to,
forget
you would not
that,
be able to clean kennels and be safe to have dogs not have any place to go.
Okay,
because
so
that's also where they exercise them and people meet and greet there and
I got you.
And
so
walk
okay,
the dogs.
Then if we're going to permit them to put on an office, because I was totally, absolutely, absolutely wrong. If either the west or the east end of it, where they show future expansion, in order for them to put an office there, we're going to have to give them some space.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said the landscaping area, that's right there in the front. There's a whole area right there.
Oh, you're talking about right here.
Right, yeah, where your fence is, and your trailer or whatever, not there.
Talking about that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. The future landscape, because Tim had him landscaping with the bathroom.
Can I borrow you?
I think Jerry needs to move over here.
What are y'all looking at?
The original map. That's the southern portion of the map. All that, right? There's over at the right.
He has a color copy. That's a red.
That's all red area. That ties
this is what he was saying. They want to build
right
here.
And this landscape is what that Tim wanted to have done along with the bathroom.
You're
right.
Like,
oh, no, we want to do this.
Short to mark. That's it. You got it. You're on it. Exactly.
So that's when I refer to footprint.
That's what you're saying. And you're on it. Exactly.
Okay.
Because we don't want them going towards the fire department. And we don't want them going anywhere else.
Yeah, you're right.
That building's still standing in 20 years. Yay. If it's not, we've got a whole lot of area there.
Okay, so that's the footprint we want to present to them.
Okay. Do we want to tell them how big a building expansion they can do?
No, just the ones that are inside that space. They can use it to zero line.
Within a certain distance.
There's no offset.
Whatever was built would have to be, you would have to get permits for, and if it didn't meet.
But it doesn't.
They can't be built within a certain distance from the road and stuff, too.
I'm just saying there's permits that have to be issued. So
which
if it
extend to the size of the building if they can
right.
build.
Right. Well, that's true.
I'm very comfortable with this direction.
Okay.
So someone needs to make a motion to authorize this.
How many words do you want in it? Can I make a motion?
Can you just say, can I make a motion and then have you speak? Or do we need to write?
How about this?
So
can I make a motion, Mark, that we accept your judgment on the situation and we accept your, what's the word?
I think it would be more appropriate to include the city manager.
Oh, the city manager, too. I'm sorry. Staff and the attorney.
There's a piece on the square footage, since we don't actually know. I would like to replace that with...
What I would do is take that reference out.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Just say, basically, space. Something along the lines of the location will be within the area outlined as phase one in the PowerPoint they provided to the city years ago.
We attached that, right?
And I think I'll tell them the city's going to get that surveyed, and simply say that they can that the amendment would allow them to have the building, the building for kennels and related animal care facilities, an expansion of that existing building on the same land, as well as something else that might be approved by the governing body.
Okay. How's this? If I were to make a motion, that would we would give the city attorney and the city manager the authority to forward the information with the verbiage of our attorney expressing what they can and can't do. I can't go through all the things he said. It's on the recording, correct? Does that sound reasonable?
I'm working on it. Okay.
I think for record it needs to be specifically stated by one.
Somebody got to write all this out.
So the way I understand your intent is your motion would be to authorize the city manager and the city attorney to present to the county a draft of the termination of the interlocal agreement and a draft of the First Amendment to ground lease that would be consistent with the draft documents presented, but to specify that any expansion be on the existing land described on
whatever exhibit you want to make
the April 15th as phase one on the April 2015 Kirby Animal Care Facility expansion PowerPoint.
Correct. That would be mine. Yes. We got there.
Is there any further discussion? Monique, do you have any?
Listen to the audio.
Thank you. Well, he wrote it down. Sorry. Mark is good.
We will have Tracy call roll.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Finally, yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And you'll be able to draft that, you think, tomorrow? Is that what you said?
Yes.
That was a simple one, Mark.
Well, if you're listening to the audio, I just want to hear. All right, so we will move to item 10A, request and announcements by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Grant.
After all of this, I have no more to say. Thank you.
Councilmember Wilson.
I do. I have a couple. She's not the only person. Ms. Vallon is not the only person that I have spoken to with the cats running crazy. And so I'd like us put to that on maybe on the agenda, or talk to animal control about what they can do to help with the cat population.
Actually, I'd like to put that on an agenda. But do you want it in the next agenda, or
I don't care. I just know that
maybe
talk about how
I would like to, yeah, but maybe if we can wait till, do you want to wait till at least we get established with our...
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, we've got to have a...
That's fine. I just, she's
right.
Not the only person that's been...
Right.
With that, the animals. And then I'd like to have an update on the what's going on the 4th of July and on the firemen's picnic. Because those will be rolling in before a blink of an eye.
We can put those on the next one then. Okay. Councilmember Lehman?
I know this isn't a council request, but I need to make a comment. The trash people did not pick up any trash on Kirby Drive on the south side of the street today. Every can on the street is still sitting there full.
Did you call it in? Was the city aware of that?
No. So tomorrow morning they can
come see us.
Call it up, huh?
Come see us.
Would you record it or at least check it out just to make sure they weren't late? Because I've had them pick up like at 8 o'clock at night one time.
I don't have nothing.
Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. And I wanted to thank the Senior Center members who are here. Thank you for attending the meetings. And if we could confirm with the Senior Center if there is a meeting on Monday, that way. But again, if we can also find out in time so we can post a potential quorum as well to be on that.
It's for one specific thing. I know that.
Correct. But that way, if it does move forward, then at least if three or four more council members go. And there was, I was actually hoping that Tom was here because for our cleanup this past, there was a lot of confusion as far as people taking things, and then they said that they didn't take them, even though it was on the flyer. But there were specifics like, we take this, but then they took that, and it was like, oh, but we don't take that kind. So there was a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, I just know of one person in particular that would like to see if maybe it can be more descriptive as to what can and can't be taken to the hazmat cleanup.